Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street, online at fitgersbookstore.com. Sarah DeLuca is the author of a book called The Crops Look Good, News from a Midwestern Family Farm. She joins us on the phone this morning. Hi, Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. I'm happy to be here.
Nice to have you on the line with us this morning. This is an amazing book that if you didn't kind of know the backstory, you'd think you were reading just a wonderful work of fiction. But it's a collection of letters written over time that you got from your aunt. Is that right? Or your mom?
Well, my Aunt Margaret was the one who saved them and gave them to me as a sort of trust that I would do something with them. And it took me a long time, but I did get it together into a book, and it's just very, very gratifying. I've been hearing from people all over that this is my family, you know, and that's what you want to hear because it's representative of a time and a place.
It certainly is. The crops look good. That sounds like my dad's opening salvo whenever we came home to visit, whenever we came up north to visit with the relatives. One of the things that struck me, I was thinking about the book and looking through the book and reading the book kind of with this Women's History Month sort of rolling around in the back of my head. And I remembered there was an author who had made a book out of the letters that his mother had written. But I thought, why is it always the women that do the letter writing? Men can write, and back in the day, men were trained to have nice penmanship, too.
Yes, that's true, but I think women have been traditionally kind of the keepers of the personal and family culture. Maybe men tend to do more of the public writing. At least that was true in the past. I'm sure it's changing now. But they have been the keepers of this intimate first-person kind of history. It certainly was true in those times that I'm writing about, which is the 1920s up to the 50s.
So in the story, the daughter of the family goes to Minneapolis in 1923, and the correspondence takes place between her and the home folks back on the farm.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about how the roles of women were changing at that time. Now, that's pre-war, before women went to work. And I put work in quotation marks because I have an idea about what women did at home without machines to help them. And it's not like they weren't working to begin with. But the idea that somebody would hire themselves off the farm and down to Minneapolis on their own seems a little bit modern. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, well, Margaret actually had to. She was the oldest daughter in the family. And I start with letters in 1923 when she has recently left home to Minneapolis. She was certainly working all through her childhood, and in fact couldn't finish high school because her manual labor was needed. But she did get a little bit of business training, and then she got a job at Wellman Optical in Minneapolis. I think it did happen now and then in those rural families. The girls would go off and find some employment, sometimes in the city or in a village. The rural boys tended to stay on the farm and work with Dad or start their own farm, of course.
In terms of employment for women, they could stay and work on the farm, or obviously they could marry and work on the farm, but if they wanted any financial independence or any kind of autonomy at all, you're not going to do that doing unpaid labor.
That's true, right. Mm-hmm. And in this Williamson family, that is the center of the story, there were five sons and four daughters. So my mother also went off to Minneapolis some years later, and You know, it wasn't that unusual, I think, by that time to do that.
One of the things that is so interesting as people discover these communications or as they write novels based on letters that they find, especially if they are lucky enough to have this treasure trove of communication that you were given, people aren't writing that way now. I mean, maybe you could go back and look at, you know, I mean, 50 years from now, maybe somebody could go back and look at our Facebook posts to see what was going on. But we're not writing letters. We've even moved away in many instances from writing email to one another that somebody might have saved or printed out. What do you think this is going to do over the long haul?
Well, it's going to be a loss to history, really, because these kinds of long reflective letters have pretty well stopped. You know, we do have diaries sometimes and some letters, but the communication style has changed so much. You know, it's so much quicker, and maybe we communicate with more people, but it's briefer ways of keeping in touch and usually not saved. And these long reflective letters, well, it was the medium of communication that was very, very important in keeping people tied together, because they didn't have what we have now in the way of rapid modern communications. And telephones, which certainly were in many homes by the 1920s, long-distance calling was very expensive. So I find my letter collection just dropped off, the letters got shorter, and then died out about the mid-50s, and that's when the telephone was really being used to communicate much more.
So from that standpoint, we tend to think, oh, it's been only in the last 20 years that people stopped writing letters. But, you know, with the advent of email, first of all, and then, of course, with the cell phone. But you're saying it's actually been dropping off for decades before that.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's been a very gradual thing, but I noticed, you know, as far as the letters I've been lucky enough to acquire, the nature of them changed. They were quicker, shorter, and then they just, sometimes postcards, and then they would just kind of stop, because I know my own parents were using the phone then instead of, and life was accelerating on the farm as well as in urban areas, and you just wouldn't take the time, you know, to sit down and write that type of long reflective letter.
Sarah, with having gone through these letters and worked with them so much and compiled them and, of course, produced this wonderful book, do you find that now and again you make the time to write a letter?
I still do. They're not 18 pages long like some of the letters I have in my collection, but I do like first-class mail. There's something about it, you know, holding that letter in your hand. It's a different experience. Someone has put a little more time and thought into it, you know, than what we do with these quick emails. But there's certainly advantages to the way we can keep in touch now, too. So,
well, we can be in better touch with people, perhaps, that we thought we'd lost from our lives. They're easier to find, and we can communicate with them. And it is wonderful to be in a store and see something and think of my mom and call her and say, hey, I was just thinking about you, and I just wanted to call and say I love you. But I had a girlfriend with whom I wrote a lot in the 80s back and forth, and I'd get the big fat envelope with the 15-page letter. And there's nothing like that. It was really special.
That's right.
Sarah, thank you so very much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Lisa.
Sarah DeLuca, our author this morning. She's written a book called The Crops Look Good, News from a Midwestern Family Farm. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at fitgersbookstore.com.